All right, we're beginning here on the bottom of Nun Bet Amud Bet, five lines up. The Gemara says, Gufa. We're quoting back what we had left off with regards to Chizkiyah. Amar Chizkiyah, Maiser Sheni, She'ein Bo Shaveh Pruta. If you have Maiser Sheni that doesn't have the requisite minimum associated with it, Omer, he can say, Hu V'chomsho M'chulal Amaot HaRishonot, that it and its fifth are redeemed on the original monies that I had. Because a person doesn't have the ability to be so exact in his redemption. The assumption in Chizkiyah's position is that when a person goes to redeem their Maaser Sheni, they didn't do it in a manner that is exact. The valuation was perfect. Therefore, the person is going to err on the side of overvaluing the Maaser Sheni. As Rashi says over here, Mitoch Shehu Yarei Milafachot, he is fearful of underestimating the amount of Maaser Sheni because then it won't be redeemed. And if it isn't redeemed, he is going to be eating Maaser Sheni Michutz LeYerushalayim. Therefore, Musif Al-Damaf, he increases the monies that he uses to redeem the Maaser Sheni in order to ensure that all the payrot that he has there are certainly redeemed. But that means that there's headroom left on the monies that he used for redemption, the excess amount that he didn't get exactly. And so what Chizkiyah's statement says is when you have something that's too small to redeem in and of itself, then you can use that excess amount that's left over from the original redemption and use that headroom to redeem this Shave Pruta, where it's Hu V'chomsho Mechulal Al Ma'ot HaRishonot. So now Gemara says Meteve. So we have a Mishnah. Mishnah both appears and Chala in Bikurim. The Mishnah is describing these character traits that are common to Truma and Bikurim. Truma, Bikurim, Chala are all subcategories of the greater category of Truma, and therefore they have similar dinim. Generally, the Mishnah is contrasting that with Maaser, where Maaser has different dinim than that of Truma. So over here you have a Mishnah that lays out certain qualities or traits of Truma. Not in all the instances, but in some instances, the Mishnah ends, Masha'enkein b'maser, which is not true by maser. So we have to go through each of the traits, understand what its particular association with Truma is, and then why maser is different. So the Mishnah says, Truma v'bikurim chayavim aleihem mita. So that's the first thing, because Truma has a din of mita bidei shamayim, one who is a zar, who's not a kohen, who consumes Truma, or even a kohen tamei who eats Truma, is subject to mita bidei shamayim. V'chomesh, a zar who eats Truma bishogeg, unintentionally eats it, then when he replaces it or pays it back, he not only has to pay back the Truma that he ate, he has to increase it by a chomesh, by one-fifth. V'asurim lizarim. So the difficulty with this is, didn't we just describe the issue of Asura the Zarim? I mean, the fact that it is restricted to Zarim results in the fact that you have a Mita Bidei Shemaim if you eat a B'mezid. And if you eat a B'shogeg, then you end up with having to pay it plus a Chomesh. So what is additive in the fact that it's Asura the Zarim over here? So Rashi says, Below Yochal. It is the restriction that you may not eat it if you are a Zar. And as Rashi already acknowledged, that's unnecessary because of the fact that you just described the results of it being asur lizar. Nevertheless, the Mishnah writes it because of the contrast to maser. Because in the end, it's going to have to say, Masha ein kein b'maser, which means that maser is not asura lizarim. So that's the reason according to Rashi. The Balei HaTosafot are less comfortable with that explanation. He brings Perush Rashi, and then he says, he's not sure that that's the case because of the fact that not all the Mishnayot have the ending Masha'enkein B'maser. So if you don't have that ending, Masha'enkein B'maser, you have to explain on a standalone basis what's the reason for Asura L'Zarim. And therefore, he says, V'esh Lomar, Kedu B'farish B'Yushalmi, Asurim L'Zarim, Afilu Chatzi Shi'ur, Odo Raita Odo Rabbanan. Says you have to invoke the Yushalmi over here, which is the restriction against eating Truma, is not only when you have the requisite shiur of achilah, the minimum shiur, the minimum amount of truma, but even chatzi shiur, which is a machloket Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in the beginning of the last perek of Yoma, as to whether chatzi shiur is asur midrabanan or asur midoraita. But whether it is Asur Midirabanan or Asur Doraita, Bali HaTosafot suggests, based on the Yerushalmi, that Asurim Lezarim means that even a Chatzi Shiur, where you're not going to be subject to Mita Bidei Shamayim, you're not going to be subject to repayment of it plus a Chomesh, nevertheless, it's still Asurah, because Zarim are not allowed to engage or eat Truma, even a Chatzi Shiur. Behein Nechsei Kohen, they are the possession of the Kohen, as Rashi notes over here, L'kadesh behen et Aisha, in order to utilize them to marry a woman. If a Kohen gives the Truma to a woman as the consideration for the marriage, then it works, because the Truma belongs to the Kohen. Once he's in receipt of the Truma, it's his to use as he pleases. Rashi says that's in contrast to Maaser, where this Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir. It's a machloket whether Maaser Sheni is Mamon Gavoa or Mamon Hejot. Does it belong to God, or does it belong to the layperson? If it belongs to the layperson, it would be no different than the Truma over here. Then the individual who has the Maaser Sheni can utilize it the same way that the Kohen can utilize the Truma. On the other hand, if you believe that it's Mamon Gavoa, that Maaser Sheni really belongs to Hashem, and you take it up to Yerushalayim, and you are then Zuche Mishulchan Gavoa, you're eating from Hashem's table in Yerushalayim, then you wouldn't have the right to utilize it. So Rashi says, Stam Mishnah ka Rabbi Meir. This Mishnah must be authored by Rabbi Meir, Damar, Maser Mamon Gavoahu. That Maser is Mamon Gavoah, therefore it's contrasted with Truma, where the Kohen can utilize it for his own purposes, whereas the Maser Sheni is Mamon Gavoah, where you don't have a right to use it because it belongs to God. Later on, the Balei HaTosafot go through a explanation which also makes it plausible to explain it according to Rabbi Yehuda. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who believes that it is Mamon Hejot, there might be limitations on what you can utilize Maaser Sheni for. I mean, that the Maaser Sheni monies, even if you say they are Nechsei Hejot, you don't necessarily have a right to expend them on anything you want. There might be limitations on what you can utilize it for. That will depend on who you think the author of this Mishnah is, as well as other Mishnayot that are found in Maaser Sheni, as to whether there is, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, a limitation in what you spend the Maaser Sheni on. So Tosafot says you could even explain this according to Rabbi Yehuda, because Maaser Sheni has bounds unlike that of Truma. Volim bechad umeya, in order to be mevatel Truma that falls into Chulin, you need 100 to 1 or 101 to 1, depending, it's a machloket rishonim, as to whether you need 101 of the chulin or 100 of the chulin, but it's not your standard bitul, because your standard bitul is bitul be'rov, which is majority. So mina Torah, according to most, and Tosafot over here notes that, bitul be'rov is the only thing that the Torah recognizes. Everything else is an imposition dirabanan. Tosafot says that with regards to other things, Asmachta ba'amahu, the fact or the necessity for 100 to 1 is just an asmachta. Dimi da'oraita, truma ba'orla, bikilai kerem bitelim birov, that they are batel birov biyavesh, if you're drying with dry goods. Ubalach, bisamach, and when it comes to liquids, then it's 60 times, kishari surim. The Rabbi Kiva Eger over here discusses this statement of the Balei HaTosafot, and he's not certain as to the 60 times over here. Depends on whether it's min b'mino, min she'enu b'mino, and again, whether that's even dirabanan, not even do'oraita, but at least min adin do'oraita, it would seem that rov is the koveya in any of these instances. Could be that 60 to 1 is also do'oraita, depending, that's what Rabbi Kiva Eger is discussing in this Balei HaTosafot over here, whether 60 to 1 is really do'oraita, or maybe only an imposition dirabanan. But then you have echad b'meya, that's true by products that are like Truma. And as the Balei HaTosafot note over here, when it comes to Orla in Kilei HaKerem, it's 200 to 1. That's because they not only have an Isra Achila, they also have an Isra Hana'ah. But that's all, again, derivative Dirabanan. The Rabbanan learned at the Pasuk, et Mikdasho Mimenu, that which is Kadosh from it. And they learn from that, that which is Kadosh that falls back in. So when you have like Trumat Maser, it's 1% of the total amount. If it falls back into the Chulin, then that would be something that is not batel, because it's 99 to 1. You'll need 100 to 1 in order to be mevatelet. So they learn that from the pasuk, et mikdasho mimeno, that which is holy that's taken from it. They learn from that pasuk, if the holy thing falls back into it, it would be problematic. And so that's how they get to this limud of 100 to 1 for bitul, which is not true by maser. Maser is subject to the normal rules of bitul. Utulunim rechitzat yadayim. In order to, the way Rashi says it is partake in truma, you have to wash your hands before you eat truma. The reason being that the chachamim instituted that yadstam yadayim are shniot letuma, that your hands, your stam hands, are considered to be sheni letuma. By truma, you can reach a third level of truma, so your hands will make the truma tmeya. Whereas when it comes to maaser, the final stage of truma for maaser or chulin is sheni l'tuma. So your hands being a sheni l'tuma won't impact the maaser. Now the Balei Tosafot go on to add that washing one's hands is not only for eating it, but even for touching it. Because for eating it, yes, of course, but for touching it, because maga truma, even if you touch truma, you can convey a sheni l'tuma and make it into a shlishi l'tuma. And therefore, it's not only for eating it, but even touching it. If for eating it, even maser will require washing. The same reason that we wash for chulin today, when we eat bread, is because of srach truma, is in order to uphold the din of netilat yadayim for kohanim, vis-a-vis truma. We do it by chulin to reinforce that. That's the institution of the chachamim, that we wash our hands in order to eat bread. So maser sheni would also be subject to the necessity to wash one's hands in order to eat the maser sheni. So that's why the Balei Tosafot focus on the rechitzat yadayim even for maga, even for coming into contact with truma. So then also v'erev shemesh, in order for one who is tamei to partake in truma, not only need to go to the mikveh and become a tvul yom, someone waiting, but erev shemesh, you need the sun to set on that day. That's the first mishnah in Brachot. That is b'shah. That's the time period when you can say Shema. That's because the Kohanim, after Harav Shemesh, have the right to eat Shema if they've been Tamei. That's not true by Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, even at Tvul Yom, has the ability to eat or partake in Maaser Sheni. Harelu b'Shema Bikurim. These are all true by Shema Bikurim. Masha Enkein b'Maaser, which isn't true by Maaser. And so we've gone through in each of these items. Obviously, Mita, Bidei Shamayim, and Chomesh aren't applicable because Maaser Sheni is not Asur Lezarim. It's not restricted to Zarim. And we added on the additional aspect of Chatzi Shiur. Maybe that's why it mentions Asur Lezarim as well. None of that is applicable by Maaser Sheni. Nichsei Kohen, we contrast that with Maaser Sheni, which might be Mamon Gavoh, according to Rabbi Meir. And we saw in the Balei Tosafot that it might even be, according to Rabbi Huda, there might be limitations in what you use or expend the Maaser Sheni on. As far as olim be'echad u'me'ah, that's unique to truma, versus maser, which is subject just to bitul berov. Rechitzat yadayim is something particular to truma, because it can accept a shlishi l'tum'ah, and hands are a sheni l'tum'ah. Harav shemesh is the requirement that the sun set in order to partake in the truma. For maaser sheni, you just need tvul yom. And that's how these all differ from maaser sheni. Lav michlau. From this Mishnah, you would conclude, the maser batel beruva. That maser is batel berov, as opposed to truma, which is batel in 100 to 1. Vim ito de chizkia, if it is true what chizkia says, havale davar sheyesh lo matirim. Then you have the ability to unwind or unlock the item that is now in a mixture, and chol davar sheyesh lo matirim, afelu be'elef lo batil. Even at 1,000 to 1 is not batel. So what the Gemara's suggestion is over here is, yeah, maybe maser sheni. It's true, it should be batel berov, but Chizkiah comes up with a way to deal with maser sheni in these situations. In these situations, you can take the maser sheni that is less than a shiur and then apply it to the monies of maser sheni that you already have, that you redeemed the maser sheni with. Since that maaser sheni monies that you used to take out the whole crop has excess value left on it, you'll take these smaller values and then you can apply it to the larger values. And so the same thing could be true over here. Why don't we say the same thing with regards to a mixture of maaser sheni together with chulin? So that normally you would say batel berov, and that's it. It's chulin and you can go ahead and partake in it. But maybe, if Chizkiah is right, we have a way to deal with that minority or that maaser sheni that is becoming batel. We have a way to deal with it. Since we have a way to deal with it, then that's davar sheyesh lo matirim. If we have a way to unwind it or redeem it and make it significant, then it doesn't have a din of bitul because you could deal with it. And the way Rashi phrases it in the Gemara in Beitzah, davar sheyesh lo matirim is, why eat something bisur when you can eat it beheter? So why not just wait to do it beheter rather than to do it bisur? We saw the Ran's formulation in Darim that the problem is now it becomes min bimino. Because since both things are heter, it can't be mevatelet. The Ran over there discusses that the whole idea of bitul is that things that are opposite or differentiated are able to be mevatel each other. Things that are similar cannot be mevatel each other. Once you make it davar sheyesh lo matirin, which has ability to be heter, that means that you have heter and heter. Heter and heter can't be mevatel each other because they're the same thing. They don't contrast. They don't offset in any way. And therefore, there's no bitul. Their different formulations have to do possibly with how you view the way that bitul functions. Does bitul function the way that the rove wipes out the minority as if it doesn't exist anymore? Or does bitul work in a way that if you ask me halachically what to do in this case, I go achar rove. But if you're asking me if I had a choice or I had a better choice, would I take that? Possibly, because it's only a halachic outcome. It's not telling you what the reality of the mixture is. So those differences also lead to the differences in how they formulate davar sheyesh lo matirin. But either way, the Gemara is saying, then why don't we use that position of Chizkia? If he's right about this, then this should change the dynamic with regards to Maaser Sheni. And he should be then able to redeem it. If he can redeem it, it shouldn't be batel. Thus it says, why is the Gemara only saying that Maaser Sheni is a davar sheyesh lo matirim? Truma has the same status. V'im tamar, truma nami yesh lo matirim b'sheila. You can go and get a heterat nidarim and eliminate the truma. So the Baal HaTosafot over there says, but it's very different. Over there, there's no mitzvah to do heterat nidarim to eliminate the neder of truma. Over here, there is a mitzvah in order to redeem the Maaser Sheni and bring it up to Yerushalayim. Or you could answer that it's a case where it was already given to the Kohen, but you don't have a right to unwind it to be Matir Neder because it's not in your possession anymore. So there are ways to create it that the Truma will not be classified as a Davar Sheishlo Matirim. So Mar says, Umimai, Demasha Enkin, Batel Beruva. How do you know when it says that Maaser is different? It means that Maaser is Batel Beruv. Dilma lo batil klal. It could be different than Truma because Truma is batel 100-1. Maaser Sheni is not batel at all. That still makes it different. When it says, lo matzit amret halachi, that's a cute answer, but that's not really a good answer. Delegabe Truma, chumrei de Truma, ktani. Over here, the list is enumerating the items. It's written, the Mishnayot here are written by chala, bikurim, things that are Truma, and they are enumerating the items that are unique to Truma, mitzad chumra. Meaning, where is Truma more chamur than Maaser Sheni? Everything listed here is a chumra, not a kula. And all of a sudden you're going to say to me, 100-1 is a kula? That doesn't make so much sense. Kula de Truma, loktani. We're not speaking about those things that Truma is more lekula vis-a-vis Maaser Sheni. Vahaka, tani. But doesn't it say over there, behein nichse kohen, that they are the possession of the kohen, which would be lekula? Because over there it's saying that the Kohen can marry with the Truma. Maaser Sheni, you can't utilize it to marry. You can't utilize it as if it's your own possession. So that is the Kula over there. Lo salka datcha, you won't say that. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. It did mention something that is the Kula. But nevertheless, you can't give this explanation to Tanya Behedja. We have an explicit braita that says, Maaser Sheni batil beruba. That Maaser Sheni is batil berov. And if that's the case, then the contrast is between 101 and batel berov. Ube'ezo maaser sheni amiru. And which type of maaser sheni are we speaking about? Maaser she'ein bo shave pruta. Maaser that's not worth a pruta. U'shenichnas Yerushalayim v'yatza. Or maaser sheni that went into Yerushalayim and then went out again. V'im ita de l'chizkia. Again, if you have this solution of chizkia, la'aved lei l'dechizkia. Invoke chizkia over here. And therefore, you redeem the thing that is eno shave pruta. It's something that's worth less than a pruta. If it was worth more than a pruta, then you could redeem it in of its own right. So then you wouldn't need to invoke this. The problem is that it's less than a pruta, and so you can't redeem it. So So what you could do is, you could use the Chizkiyah solution, which is, I already have headroom on my Maisu Sheni that I redeemed. I'll take the Chatzi Pruta and I'll redeem it on that. V'nechale Amot HaRishonot, he will redeem it onto the original monies that he had used to take out his, or redeem his Maisu Sheni. Delo Parik, the Gemara says that's not a problem. It's a case where he hadn't done any redemption before this. Or he doesn't have monies around that he had redeemed from Maisu Sheni. So there's nothing available. So then, that's not a question on Chizkiyah, because Chizkiyah's solution is just not available here, because who says that he redeemed with monies before that? The case in the, being brought in this Braita could reference a case where there wasn't any monies beforehand, and that's why it's not a question on Chizkiyah. Where it says, V'neite ma'aser, why don't you bring Maisu Sheni to itle that he has? V'nitzterefinu, and then you'll mix them together. That you will bring over other Maisur Sheni, and by bringing over other Maisur Sheni and placing it next to this mixture over here, this mixture of a less than a pruta worth of Maisur Sheni that's mixed with Chulin, you'll bring other Maisur Sheni next to it, and then you'll redeem them together, because together with the other Maisur Sheni, you'll get it over the minimum threshold of a pruta. Where it says, Doraita bidrabanan lo mitztarfe, because you're dealing with a Torah Maisur Sheni and a rabbinic Maisur Sheni, they are not mitztaref. They cannot be joined together. The reason Rashi says over here is because the mixture, mina Torah, is batel berov. The mixture, as far as the Torah is concerned, is gone, because it's batel berov, and now you have nothing left. The whole idea of davar sheyesh lo matirin is an institution, the Rabbanan. So the fact that it's not batel over here because you could redeem it, that's all rabbinic in nature. That means that the necessity to deal with the Maisur Sheni in the mixture is only a rabbinic necessity. Min HaTorah already is batel, and you have to do absolutely nothing. On the other hand, you're bringing over Maisur Sheni, that is Chayav Midoraita. So now you're trying to bring together Doraita Vidrabanan and be Mitztaref them. Lo Mitztarfe. It doesn't work. You can't have Maisur Sheni Midrabanan and Maisur Sheni Doraita and say, oh, you put them together, and now you get over the threshold. They don't have anything to do with each other. One of them is Chulin Midoraita, and one of them is Maisur Sheni Midoraita. So this solution is not going to work. Nimse Shaveh Chatzi Pruta, Shevi Nechal Belo Chilut, Aval D'Chizkiya Marot HaRishonot Kfar Nitpatsu. By the case of Chizkiya, you're not trying to generate new pigeon over here, monies of Maisur Sheni. They already had been done or had been taken care of. And so since they are kfar nitvasu, since they are already something that already has a redemption of Maisur Sheni, then you don't have to worry about the fact of whether this is less than a threshold, not a threshold, that you're redeeming it on the monies. The monies are already in existence. They already have the kedushat, quote-unquote, of Maisur Sheni, and has the room to do it. What you can't do is the chatchila, try to take a half a coin and then try to generate Maisur Sheni on it. But if you're doing it as part of a more general or larger package, the fact that you have that excess left over, that's very possible or plausible in that situation. So now the Gemara says, Venete Demai. So then why don't you bring over Demai, which is something that is Chayav in Trumot Masrot Midrabanan. The reason being is that Rov Amayaretz Masrim, most of the Amayarets do take off Trumot Masrot. It's not a super majority, it's a majority. And because we're choshesh for the fact, for that minority, which is not an insignificant minority that don't, we tell you, if you buy from an Amayaretz, you should separate out again Trumot Masrot. There are certain ways to deal with it, where you don't have to take out the full amounts, you may just have to redeem them, and then a Mosi Michavero La Varaya to deal with Demai. But the institution of Demai is only an institution midrabanan. So now you're bringing over something that is chayav in Masrot midrabanan, and then you're putting it together with this item that is in the mixture, which is batel berov, but because of davar sheyesh lo matirim is also only chayav midrabanan. It says, we don't do that. Dilma'ate lituye vadai. We're afraid that the person might bring over something that's chayav in Maisur Sheni for real, and that would be problematic, because then you'd have Doraita and Derabanan mixing together. So yes, it would work if you brought two items that are only Chayav Midrabanan, but then you bring up the possibility that they'll bring something that's Chayav Doraita, And that you can't control as well. You can't just tell them, oh, only bring Maaser Demai. They're not going to understand it. They're just going to think any time there is too small an amount that's batel inside of another package, just bring over other Maaser Sheni and you can get rid of that problem or take care of that problem. So v'neite shtei prutot. So here we have a better solution. Bring two prutot. V'nechalelo ayu Maaser pruta u'mechsa. And then redeem on those two prutot a maser that is worth 1.5 prutot. V'nechalel hai alheyach yitera. And then the item that is in the mixture, you redeem on the excess amount that's there. So it's an easy solution to the problem is just find a prut and a half worth of maaser sheni, take two prutot, and redeem the maaser sheni of a pruta v'chetzi. That 1.5 then leaves you headroom of a half on the pruta. With that excess half, you redeem the maaser sheni that is found in this mixture. Where it says, misavart pruta mechsa tafsa de prutot. Who says that's going to work? Because when you have 1.5 prutot worth of maaser sheni and you redeem it onto two prutot, how do you know that it's going to take out the two prutot? Lo, pruta tafsa pruta. The one pruta is worth of the maaser sheni will be redeemed by one of the prutot there. V'chatzi pruta lo tafsa. The half a pruta, he doesn't have any redemption for. You don't have the ability to redeem less than a pruta's worth. Now, the reason being, according to Rashi, the reason that that doesn't work is because it doesn't have a strong enough kedusha. You need a minimum amount of kedusha in order to redeem it. If it has that less than requisite amount of kedusha, then you can't redeem it. So a chatzi pruta doesn't meet that threshold. Since it doesn't meet the threshold, it doesn't have the ability to be redeemed because it doesn't have sufficient kedusha in it. There are others like the Raivad who believe that when you have less than a pruta worth of maaser sheni, it's not even kadosh. It doesn't even have a din of maaser sheni. So there are those, like Rashi, the way Rashi explains it, the Rambam, that maaser sheni less than a pruta cannot be redeemed, but it does have a din of maaser sheni. It has kedushat maaser sheni. On the other hand, there are those like the Raivad who say that it doesn't even have kedushat maaser sheni. So over here, this isn't going to work because of the fact that you have here a pruta that'll be taken care of one pruta. You have the second pruta, which is not going to deal with the half pruta that is left over. So now what are you suggesting? The half pruta that you have over left over should be a mitzareif with the items that you have in the mixture. That's also not going to work because then you're back to square one. Then you have a problem because the chatzi pruta is a chiyuv deoraita. The stuff that you have in the mixture is only a chiyuv derabanan because it's a davar sheish lematirin, which is only an issue derabanan. Udraita derabanan, no mitzarfe. When it comes to a din doraita and a din derabanan, they cannot be mitzareif. So Gemara says, okay, v'naiti isar, why don't you bring an isar? Isar is a larger coin. Then you don't have this problem. And that's what Rashi indicates, that how does this work for Chizki in the first place? How do you ever end up with this excess amount being left on your monies when you redeem Maaser Sheni, when you're telling me here that less than a pruta of Maaser Sheni doesn't get redeemed? The answer to that problem is no problem, because you're dealing with much larger quantities and coins. So when you have a coinage where the Maaser Sheni just doesn't reach the total amount of the Maaser on the coin, then that's fine. So you have a coin whose value has not been used up by all the Maaser Sheni. Over here, in the case, we're using discrete coins for each part of the Maaser Sheni. So by a pruta, and you have a chatzi pruta left over, that's not going to work. So because of that, you have a problem. So the Gemara's suggestion is just bring a bigger coin. Neiti isar, bring an isar that'll cover the full 1.5 prutot worth of maaser sheni, plus then you could add on the part that is mixed together. Afterwards, you can add it on, meaning that you're just simulating what Chizkiah says happens all the time when you redeem Maaser Sheni. Here you're intentionally doing it and you're leaving headroom on the coin so that you can add in this extra Maaser Sheni that's in the mixture. Where it says we won't let him do that. Dilma'ate lutuye prutot. Person might come and bring prutot. When you're dealing with large quantities, in all likelihood they're using larger coins to redeem it. When they're using larger coins, then we assume that they don't redeem it fully or up to its full value, and that's what leaves you the headroom. Over here, when you're trying to do it on a very small amount, we're afraid that the person's not going to bring the larger coin. They're going to bring for 1.5, they're going to bring two prutot. It's in excess of the amount, but it doesn't work because you have discrete coins. Then if you brought one big coin, it would work. But we don't trust the people to redeem it in such a manner. So Tosfot over here discusses the Mishnayot that we saw in Maaser Sheni before, which is that when a person is redeeming Maaser Sheni, what coins can he redeem it onto? And there the Mishnah spoke about bringing it onto Prutot. So Baalei Tosfot say, why don't you have the same problem that we have over here, which is Prutot, if you're using Prutot to redeem it, you're going to get into this problem where you're going to have a small amount that's left in the end, and you're going to be trying to put that less than a Pruta worth of Maaser Sheni onto a Pruta. He says, we don't have to worry about it because he's also bringing a larger coin with it. That even in the case where he's allowed to use Prutot, he also brings an Isar. And he uses the Prutot for the excess or for the extra amount. So even though there might be something left over, he can always put it onto the Isar. He says, well, our Gemara says, even if you have bigger coins, we're afraid that you might use Prutot. So he says that says we're not worried about that. That everybody knows, everybody knows that a chatzi pruta doesn't work, you're not able to redeem it. Again, whether it's a gzeret ha-katuv or whether there's no din of kedusha over there. Over here, that people are going to make mistakes because they're not going to think of doraita derabanan and not mitzarif. They're just going to think they have the stuff that's in the bitul. They have the stuff that is here. They'll mix them together and they'll get to a whole amount. And so that's where we run into problems where people are using the prutot. Now, the Gemara then discusses the next line in that braita that we quoted. What you had asked about, is that an and or an or? When it says, Nichnas Yushalayim V'yatza, so over here, the Gemara asks, Vishen Nichnas Yushalayim V'yatza V'amai, what's the problem with it if it went into Yushalayim and then came back out? V'lahadar V'nale, you could just take it back into Yushalayim. If the problem is that it went into Yushalayim and therefore now it cannot be redeemed, or you can't do anything with it, just take it back into Yushalayim and deal with it in Yushalayim. So Gemara says, Vishen Nitma. It's a case where it became Tameh. So bringing it back into Yerushalayim is not going to help you because you can't eat it anyway. You can't deal with the Maaser Sheni that is Tameh. So when it says, Vinifrake, they at least redeem the Maaser Sheni. Dama Rabbi Elazar, Minayin the Maaser Sheni Shinitma. How do you know that Maaser Sheni that becomes Tameh, Shippodinoto, that you have a right then to redeem it? Afilu be Yerushalayim, even inside of Yerushalayim, Shnemar. Kilo tuchal se'eto. This is the pashtut of pasuk. Is the reason that you redeem Maaser Sheni is kiryer chakrim chamakom. It's too far away, and you can't kilo tuchal se'eto. You can't carry it. It's too heavy. It's too much for you to schlep all the way up to Yerushalayim, and therefore you have a right to redeem it in order to facilitate your ability to bring it up to Yerushalayim. So here, Rabbi Lazar brings an alternate drasha to the word se'eto ve'ein se'et el achila. The word se'et doesn't only mean to carry up or to bring to Yerushalayim. It also means to eat. Shinemar v'yisa masa'ot made panav. By Yosef and his brother, it says that they took masa'ot. Masa'ot here mean portions of food or that which you eat from him. So then those portions or se'et means here the ability to eat it. So when Maaser Sheni is not able to be eaten, when's that? When it is tamei. So ki lo tuchal seito, since you cannot eat it, then you have a right of redemption. So then you'd have to read the pasuk as saying, there are different reasons as to why you can redeem it. You can redeem it ki yurchakim chamakom, when it's too far away, or when it is inedible, you can't partake of it. Also then you're given the right to redeem it. So then, that won't be the explanation over here, because then you could still redeem it if it was tamei. El al belakuach bekesef maaser sheni. It was purchased with monies of Maaser Sheni. Lakuach, bekesef Maaser Sheni, nami lifrike. So it was purchased with the monies of Maaser Sheni. The Maaser Sheni at home was already redeemed onto monies. You brought those monies up to Yerushalayim, then you expended those monies in Yerushalayim on produce inside of Yerushalayim. Then that produce becomes tamei. So now there, you don't have the ability to redeem it. It's none. Halakuach, bekesef Maaser Sheni, shinitma. If you have something purchased with Maaser Sheni monies, if it becomes Tamei, Ipadeh, it can be redeemed. Ki Rabbi Yehuda Damar, Ikaver. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda Shita, who argues over here, and believes that it has to be buried. That he says, as Rashi notes over here, Tekasavar lo olim lemitpas pidyono. Because once you've expended money of Maaser Sheni onto the product that's there, that product has a lower level of Kedusha. It's a little bit of a counterintuitive idea, but it shows up many places with regards to something that is kadosh and by korbanot, which is that something that has a higher level of kedusha has the ability to be separated or made discrete from the object itself. Therefore, you can move that kedusha from the object onto money or onto another object. On the other hand, if the kedusha of the item is smaller or not as great, it's not strong enough to be then separated or made discrete, and you can't redeem it. So over here, as Rashi notes over here, since its kedusha isn't so strong, it doesn't have the ability to be redeemed over here. Because otherwise, it would be a kavachomer. If you can redeem Meiser Sheni that became Tameh, then you certainly should be able to redeem Meiser Sheni money that was expended and became Tameh. The answer is that it's too low a level of kedusha. The Balei HaTosafot over here suggests that the problem is Gzeirat HaKatuv. Once you purchase Meiser Sheni with the monies that you brought up, you just can't redeem it. That's a Gzeirat HaKatuv. But Rashi says there's a logical reason for it, which is the level of kedusha is too low that doesn't allow you to redeem it. Where it says, "I Rabbi Yehuda, Ma'iria Yatsa." If you think that the author over here is Rabbi Yehuda, why does it need to leave Yerushalayim? Afilo lo yatsa nami. Even if it doesn't leave Yerushalayim, you have a problem. For him, the problem is simply that it is monies of Meiser Sheni that were expended on produce. When they become to me, you have no right of redemption. It doesn't have to leave Yerushalayim to cause that problem. Ela Yolam B'Tahor. All right, we're back to our original assumption that it is Meiser Sheni that is Tahor. Umayatza. So what does it mean that it left Yerushalayim? The Nafol Mechitzot. The walls of Yerushalayim collapsed, are now no longer there. In order to eat Meiser Sheni, it must be eaten within the walls of Yerushalayim. It has to be within the city. If the walls or the Mechitzot of Yerushalayim don't exist, doesn't mean that a little breach and then a little breaking, but if they are knocked down to the point where they no longer are considered to have walls around Yerushalayim, in that instance, you're not allowed to eat Meiser Sheni inside of Yerushalayim. Where it says, wait a minute, V'amarova mechitza lechol de'oraita. As far as Mina Torah, there's a requirement that you eat the Meiser Sheni inside the walls of Yerushalayim. That's a Torah requirement. Mechitzot lechot de Rabbanan. The fact that the Mechitzot of Yerushalayim lock you in. Once you have Meiser Sheni that has entered into Yerushalayim, then you can't take it back out or you can't redeem it anymore. That's only a rabbinic imposition. That once you've entered the walls of Yerushalayim, they are collate. They absorb you. They take you into the point where you can't change the status of the Meiser Sheni anymore. That is only a din derabanan. So why are you saying over here that it nichnas Yerushalayim viyatza, and now he goes back out, that you can't redeem it? The only reason you can't redeem it once it's gone into Yerushalayim is because the Rabbanan said that the Mechitzot are koltot. The Mechitzot force you, once you enter Yerushalayim, not to walk out with the Meiser Sheni. V'chi gazru Rabbanan. When did the Rabbanan impose such a gzera? Ki itnu the Mechitzot. When the Mechitzot are extant. Ki letnu the Mechitzot, lo gazru Rabbanan. When there are no Mechitzot, the Rabbanan were not gozer. Now, that's not Rava's statement. That's the Gemara supposing that that must be the way that the Chachamim instituted their Gzeirah. He says that the Klita of the Mechitzot is only rabbinic in nature. Gemara is saying, well, if the whole idea is rabbinic in nature, they probably only did it when the Mechitzot are standing. When the Mechitzot are not standing, we're not going to impose on you that you can't take the Meiser back out of Yerushalayim. Gemara says, lo polo grabanan ben itnu the Mechitzot ben leitnu the Mechitzot. No, that's not right. Your assumption is wrong. Chamim did not distinguish between cases where there are mechitzot and cases where there are not mechitzot. Rav Huna bar Yehuda Amar, Rav Sheshet, Chadok Tani. So here is the other solution to the problem, which is, again, you were asking end or. Over here, the way we're explaining now, it's an or, which is that it was either less than a pruta, was the first case in the Breita. Second case in the Breita is that it went into the mechitzot of Yerushalayim and came out. Both of those which are not subject to redemption or pidyon, then that's what you have a problem with. That's what the issue is. And the Gemara questioned why we couldn't use Chizkiyah, and the Gemara explained why we couldn't use Chizkiyah. Now, this alternate explanation is Chadok Tani. This is all one thing. Meiser Sheni she'ein bo shaveh pruta. It's Meiser Sheni that has less than a shaveh pruta. She'nichnas Yerushalayim v'yatza. It entered Yerushalayim and then exited. Amai. Why is it a problem now? V'nahader v'nayale v'nichle. Just take it back into Yerushalayim and eat it inside of Yerushalayim. We don't have a problem. The Nafol Mechitzot. It's again the case where the Mechitzot fell. V'nifrake. So then let him redeem it. If Mechitzot aren't there. Ha'amar Rava Mechitza Lechol De'oraita. Because Rava said that Mechitzot are demanded for you to eat Meiser Sheni. That's the Torah requirement. Mechitza Liklot. In order for the Mechitzot to absorb the Meiser Sheni and not allow you to remove it or redeem it anymore, that's only rabbinic. They're Rabbanan. V'chi gazur Rabbanan ki itnu the Mechitzot. And again, when did the Rabbanan impose their will? When there were mechitzot there. Kilegonu the mechitzot. When there are no mechitzot, they did not impose their will. Will gazur Rabbanan. They didn't put a gzera. So Gemara again is making that assumption. The answer of the Gemara is, lo polug Rabbanan. The Rabbanan did not differentiate between whether there are or there are not mechitzot. Once you've entered into the area that was mechitzot of Yerushalayim, then you are subject to the rule that you can't redeem it anymore, even though now they have fallen down. The Rashi over here, and then the Balei Tosafot, have two or three different ways to read this Gemara as to when the mechitzot fell down. Did you enter with it while the mechitzot were still up, and then they only fell down afterwards? Or where's that threshold where you change and we say lo polug rabbanon? So the Tosafot deals with it because of an ira nidachat. In the case of ira nidachat, when is the maaser sheni already captured by Yerushalayim and then not subject to the ira nidachat or not? Whether it's before the Gemara Din, after the Gemara Din, and there the Balei Tosafot are playing around with where that threshold is. Gemara says, Yochi, my ira ain bo shaveh puta. Then why does it matter whether it has less than a puta's worth there? Avilu yeshbo. Even if it has a shaveh puta, it'd be subject to the same din. The din is not relevant only by less than a puta. The din is relevant even by more than a puta's worth. Lo mi bayikam, it's saying not only. Lo mi bayishbo, even in a case where there is in excess of a puta's worth of maaser sheni, where if there is what to redeem, nevertheless, the kaltan le mechitzot, and we say that the mechitzot are collated because it has kedushat maaser sheni. Since it has kedushat maaser sheni, the mechitzot, of course, are collate. Of a ainbo, if it has less than a shaveh puta, you would think, ema lo kaltu le mechitzot, maybe the mechitzot have no impact on it because it's less than a shaveh puta. And again, how you view less than a shaveh puta, whether it's kadosh but not able to be redeemed, or it's not kadosh at all, but either way, it is of a lesser standing than the other maaser sheni. You would think there that maybe the mechitzot have no impact on it. Kamash v'lan, that the mechitzot still impact even on something that is less than a shaveh puta, less than the minimum amount for maaser sheni. Tan Rabbanan. Im ga'ol yiga'el ish mimasro, when a person redeems his ma'aser, mimasro velo kol masro. It says that he redeems from the mem, there means from amongst his ma'aser, but not all of his ma'aser. Prat ma'aser sheni she'ein bo sheve puta. That comes to exclude a case of ma'aser sheni that does not have that requisite minimum of a sheve puta. Si itmar, Rav Ami amar ein bo, Rav Asi amar ein bechumsho. This requirement of a shaveh puta, what is it speaking about? The Rav Ami says, ein bo, means that the principal amount is less than a shaveh puta. That less than a shaveh puta makes it that it no longer has the ability to be redeemed because it's less than a shaveh puta. Rav Asi says that no, it's not speaking or modifying in the pasuk the core maaser sheni. It's talking about the requisite fifth that must be added by the Baalim. The owners that are redeeming it have to add on a fifth. And then the pasuk is saying, from amongst your maaser, that means the chomesh that you have, that must exceed the minimum requirement of a pruta. So that would mean that you would have to have then a minimum amount of, let's call it four prutot or five prutot, depending on how you think you calculate this additional chomesh, then you would have to have at least that amount of principal amount of maaser sheni in order to redeem it. Rabbi Yochanan amar ein bo. Rabbi Yochanan, similar to Rabbi Ami, says that it's talking about the principal amount. Rabbi Shimon Lakish amar ein bechomsho. Similar to Rav Asi, says it's speaking about the additional chomesh. So meitavei. Now we have a question. Maaser sheni she'ein bo shaveh puta. Maaser sheni that does not have a puta's worth. Dayo sheomar. It's enough for him to say who bechomsho mukhulal ala ma'ot harishonot. Then he can utilize the amount and moving on to the ma'ot rishonot. This is the suggestion of Chizkiah that you can use it and its chomesh can now be redeemed on the excess amount that you have on previously redeemed maaser sheni. Where it says, wait a minute. If you say, bishlam alaman damar in bechomsho, that the requirement of a puta is that even a minimum of a puta's worth in the fifth that is calculated off the base amount, hainu diktani dayo, it's enough. Even though in and of itself it has more than a pruta, kevin din bechumshe leka, since its chomesh doesn't have that requisite minimum, shapir, it makes sense to say dayo, it's enough that you do it this way. According to one who says that there's not even the requisite level of a pruta in the principal amount of the maaser sheni, my dayo, why is it that you have to say it's enough? Where would you say dayo? You should just say who v'chomsho should be redeemed. Why does it say dayo? It's sufficient grounds to do this. Because in that case, it's obvious that you're dealing with less than a pruta, and you can't say, well, it's enough that you do it this way. What do you mean it's enough that you do it this way? That's the only way that you can deal with it. There's nothing else to do with it. On the other hand, if you're dealing with the individual who says that the core amount is worth more than a pruta, it's just the chomesh that doesn't allow you to do it, then you can write dayo because we don't force you then to wait to mix it together with other maser that you have. Even though there's not a pruta worth in the chomesh, the core amount has sufficient amounts of maaser sheni in it that maybe we would tell you wait around and be mitzdarif it together with other maaser sheni. So we don't wait and take it up to Yerushalayim, or wait and put it together with other prutot in order to get it there. So therefore you would use the lashona of dayo, which is the afagav de bididei itbe, even though it itself has sufficient amounts that you would think it could be redeemed, but because it lacks in its chomesh, therefore we allow you to do this. But in a case where it itself is lacking, then why do you have to say dayo? It's enough that you do that. What else are you going to do? This is the only mechanism that you can use over here or utilize over here. So that's what Mar says, kasha. That is a big question. That is a big problem for these individuals. And it even seems to be a tiyufta. I mean, the Lashon is so strongly in favor of the position, but that would eliminate the position that believes that you need a minimum of a pruta in the principal amount, but rather it's talking about the chomesh. Ibailu. So now the Gemara says, chomsha milagav, o chomsha milabar. Here is the fundamental question. How do you calculate the fifth over here? Do you calculate the fifth as being one-fifth the way that we would do it today, which is you take the principal amount, multiply it by 20%, and then you get a fifth. That's one-fifth. That's called chomesh milagav, from the internal amount. Chomesh milabar means that after you've taken off this fifth, the totality that you have now, the excess amount that you added, is one-fifth of the new total. Or the equivalent, the easiest way to do this is to, if you say that a chomesh milagav means to take off 20%. A chomesh milabar, all you do is you subtract one from the denominator, and it'll give you the answer. So then, in a case where it's chomesh milabar, it's really a quarter. You take off 25%, you add on that 25% on top, you have 125%. The 25% is one-fifth of the new total. That's called chomesh milabar. How is the chomesh calculated? Amar Ravina Tashma. We have a breita that seems to indicate which way we go. Habalim omim be'esrim. The Balim say, I'm willing to redeem this kodesh for 20. V'chol adam be'esrim. And other people are bidding the same amount as 20. Habalim kodmim. The Balim get precedent over here, even though they're at the same level as other buyers. V'neishim osufim chomesh. Because they add on one-fifth on top of the principal amount. So, of course, hekdesh benefits if the buyer is the owner versus a third party. Amar echad, harei alai besrim echad. If a third party says, I'm willing to pay 21, and the balim only offered to pay 20, then we force habalim notim esrim v'shesh. We force the balim to pay 26. Basically, what we do is we make them pay 20 and add on a fifth, which is what they bid. They bid 20, so on the amount they bid, we make them add on a chomesh. As far as the additional pruta that the third party added on, we don't make them pay a chomesh on that. We simply say you have to match that which they said in excess. Because your amount is in excess of their amount. You, if you just add on the chomesh, is going to be in excess of their amount of 21. So what we do is we say, okay, match the 20 with the chomesh in it, and then the extra pruta that he offered, you have to offer that up without a chomesh. So he pays 26. Esrim v'shnayim, if the third party bids 22, habalim notim esrim v'sheva. Then the balim pay 27 for the same reason. They pay 20, plus a fifth gets you to 25, plus the extra two bid by the third party. Without a chomesh on it, that gets you to 27. Besrim v'shalosh, if the third party bids 23, habalim notim esrim v'shmoneh. Then they give 28, the 25 that they were willing to bid, plus the additional three added on by the third party. Besrim ba'arba, if the third party bid 24, abalim notim esrim v'teisha. The owners have to give 29. Again, the original bid of 20 plus a chomesh is 25, plus the extra four bid by the third party, which he, the balim, are in excess of with their chomesh. Esrim v'chamesh, the third party bids 25, abalim notim shloshim. Then the owners have to pay 30. The fish ain't mosim chomesh alilu yusuzet. We don't add on a fifth to the excess bidding of the third party. We only add on a fifth to the bidding of the Baalim, and then the excess of the third party, we add on to their amount in order to determine what would be their winning bid against the third parties. But what you see from here, Shmamina, Chumshim Libar, Shmamina. From here, it's pretty clear that the Mishnah, the way it's calculating this, is through a fifth Milabar. Because it's saying, what is one-fifth of 20? 25. That means you're adding on 5 on top of 20. That's really a quarter Milagav. It's really 25% of it. So you see for sure that it's calculated as Milabar. Shmamina. From here, it seems to be a very straightforward answer, meaning that this is the only way to calculate. It's obvious that that's the way it's being calculated. What's even the question? The answer is that this is said by Hekdesh. Hekdesh has the same requirement that the Bali Man out of Chomesh, like Maisa Sheni, but who says that Maisa Sheni works the same way that Hekdesh works? So that's why maybe it's only a Shmamina, or the other possibility is what the Gemara is about to say now, which is Kitanae. It actually is a Machloket Tanaim, and you could argue that this Mishnah is only according to the Tana who holds that it is Milabar. Yesaf Chamishito Alav, that you add on the additional chamishit, shehehu v'chomsho chamisha, that it plus the chomesh equals 5, divrei Rabbi Yeshaya, that's chomesh milabar, yonotan omer chamishito chomsho shel keren, it's 1/5 of the principal amount, which is a chomesh milagav. So you see here a machloket tanaim as to how you calculate the chomesh. And so that's a question that we had, and it's a machloket tanaim, as to whether it's a chomesh milabar or a chomesh milagav. Okay, we're going to stop here. 10 lines down on the top of Nun Daled Amud Aleph.